Well, as we begin tonight, I picked an illustration that will make our Georgia people feel at home. Some years ago, Chicago Tribune made a study and came up with these facts. Foreigners call all Americans Yankees. Southerners, there you go, that's the part of it, say that Yankees are Northerners. Northerners say that Yankees are from the New England states. People in New England say that it's the Vermonters who are Yankees. And Vermonters reply that a Yankee is just someone who eats pie for breakfast. So I don't know how true all of that is. But you know, it's amazing the different perspectives on people and situations that we have. And we're living in a day in which there is, and has been for quite a while, an attempt to divide, for different reasons, cultures and peoples. And it is very important for us to understand that the Church of the Living God should be the place that shows the greatest love for one another and the greatest understanding of one another of any place on planet Earth. And we cannot be part of that kind of divisive spirit. Now, when it comes to the humanist socialist philosophy behind some of that, that we can oppose biblically. But when it just comes down to some of the things that are being highlighted, not only just this year, but in years past, we as believers need to be exhibit A on what Bible Christianity is all about. And that this is the answer to the issues of our day. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, and I want us to look at this passage which speaks of the body functioning together. You have the great 11 chapters of doctrine, especially of sanctification and soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. And then you have, I beseech you, therefore. And it's about giving our bodies as a living sacrifice to God and being transformed. And that will show itself in the gifts that will begin to be seen within the body of Christ that will cause there to be a unity that will allow God to powerfully use his body for his purposes. And so I want us to look at the matter of a godly spirit. Now, the very fact that the verse we're going to look at was written shows that possibly there were some internal conflicts there at the Church of Rome. Paul had not been there, but of course he knew about it quite well. He would eventually be there via the government getting them there. But evidently there might have been some class distinction or people group distinction that caused some to look down on others with contempt. Certainly there were saved slaves and saved Roman citizens, and that was a big deal in those days. And there were just all kinds of different possibilities, plus there may have been a Jewish contingency in the church. We know they were there because of what the book of Romans deals with, that may have had a superiority perspective over Gentile believers. I don't know. But the typical issues of mankind can find its way into the body of Christ, and it ought not. The one place in which the ground is level is at the foot of the cross. Amen. And the one place that level ground at the foot of the cross ought to be most evidenced is in the very body of Christ. Amen. And so one little verse, but it's just power-packed with meaning for us here tonight. Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Three things I want us to see tonight. First of all, the very important necessity of impartiality in our attitudes toward one another. Romans 15:5 says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. And so as we think of this impartiality. We need to have this like-mindedness. 2 Corinthians 13:2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, having the same, being of one accord and of one mind. And then Philippians 2:11, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind. A girl went into a Chinese restaurant in Chicago and told Wing Fu Sam, a waiter, that she wanted an order of chow mein to take out. She said she wanted a first-class order because, as she explained, it was for a mighty nice chef. Wing Fu Sam brought the chow mein. The girl took it away, and a few minutes later, the trouble began. There was one roaring protest from the fellow who ate the chow mein. It nearly burned his face off. He thought he was eating liquid fire. Well, she came back, and when she came back blazing back to the restaurant with anger, Wing Fu Sam was instantly fired by his Chinese boss. But when he finally had a chance to explain what happened, he got his job right back. It appears that when the girl said chow mein was for a mighty nice chap, Wing Fu Sam misunderstood her. He thought she said it was for a mighty nice Jap. His Chinese patriotic blood arose in him, and he heard the voices of his ancestors. Thought the Himes might appreciate this. So Wing Fu Sam decided he'd fix that mighty nice Jap up good and proper. He spiced the chow mein with 3 teaspoonfuls of blazing red peppers. Now, I give that illustration here this evening because there are a lot of factors that cause us to have perspectives on people, right? You guys are getting over being up with Northerners. I know it's hard, but it's tough. And we're having to put up with Southerners. I mean, that's tough. And then Michiganders. I mean, that's really tough. And on we could go. You know, we got these preconceived ideas. And so it is very important for us to realize that, as verse 16 says, be of the same mind one toward another. You know, one of the great joys of the Christian life is that you get a burden for people from all different kinds of ethnic backgrounds. And like this morning, think of all the international nationalities that were represented in this service. And even tonight, what a blessing, what a privilege. It's a joy, and I thank God for this church. I mean, we revel in that great opportunity. But it's very important for us to understand that to really follow the scriptures and to be an example to this world, we must not have partiality based on social position, first of all. Now, this is a big one. James 2 really deals with this. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye then not partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Aren't you thankful for the example of the Lord Jesus Christ? He was able to talk to one of the top men in Israel, Nicodemus. My, what a blessing. But then he could turn around in the next chapter, John chapter 4, and have compassion on the immoral woman that was a Samaritan of all people, the despised Samaritans, half-breed Jews. And he leads, just like he led Nicodemus to the Lord, he leads a Samaritan woman to the Lord. What about that thief on the cross? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What a blessing. And so it's very important for us to realize that though we don't want to have it, we must not allow economic standing, social standing, affect how we treat others. And true Christianity is like that New Testament church, slave and slave owner sat next to each other. That's a miracle of God's grace. If you go back to the Roman Empire, that was unheard of. Barbarian Gentiles with Jews and even with Roman citizens. All of that was just not thinkable in Roman society. And that was one of the things that drew a lot of people to the church back in those days, was behold how they love one another. It was a miracle of God's grace. The Lord condemns a man named Diotrephes in 3 John. As John is writing this under inspiration, and he says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Now, folks, we can, without realizing it, the love of Christ can be lost, and human evaluation can be there. And so we must understand there cannot be any kind of partiality based on a type of person. And then the perspective on spiritual leadership. 1 Timothy 5:21, I charge thee before God, speaking here to Timothy, and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality. Now, this is important for everyone here who has an opportunity, and that's really all of us, but everyone here who has an opportunity to minister to folks, especially in spiritual leadership. We need to evaluate our efforts, our burden, our willingness to sacrifice. Are we willing to give of ourselves and not preferring one another? Think of your Bible study. Think of your Sunday school class. Think of the variety of types of people that are on your list. Every soul on that list is equally important to God. And we need to be willing to give of ourselves equally to each one that God has placed under our care. And so that's important. If we're going to be able to be used of God, we need to realize, as Romans 2:11 says, there is no partiality with God. There is no respect of persons with God. He is preeminent, and so if we are going to be led by Him, we will have His heart. No person led by the Spirit can have a partial spirit preferring one another. That is not Bible Christianity. Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And folks, in this day, Jesus Christ needs to be seen. And it ought to be that the church like this, and churches represented here, ought to be have that same testimony. Oh, how they love one another. Oh, how they love our community. These are people that are willing to sacrifice. They are willing to go above and beyond. And they have the heart of Jesus Himself. Just think, Jesus stopped when the leper asked Him to heal him. He not only said, I will, that's a wonderful two words, I will, but He touched him. Can you imagine touching a leper? And He ate with the publicans. He was willing to spend time with the blind men and the deaf. And those in those cultures, they didn't appreciate the handicapped more than we do a lot more in our culture. And he was willing to meet the needs of everyone. And so we need to understand that this is a very important aspect here. And one thing that I try to explain to our young men training for the ministry is that men who are asked to be in places of leadership, it should never be on their social standing. It should be on the qualifications from Acts chapter 6 and 1 Timothy chapter 3, period. And it's very important that we understand that. All right, impartiality. Number two, to be able to have that great spirit in our church and in New Testament churches that will be a testimony, we need genuine humility, humility within the body. Go with me back to verse 16. Not only are we to be of the same mind one to another, we are to mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. simply means haughty in mind, minding high things. Not speaking here of lofty in a spiritual sense, but of self-seeking pride. This whole concept of humility to the Greek culture just was not seen as a virtue. It just was not something that was common at all. And for someone to not have their sense of identity be their social standing or what they have, their wealth or whatever, to have someone have their identity in their relationship to Christ and their heart for others was just a miracle again. And so this was a very strong verse. For us, we go right over it. Really, sure, that makes a lot of sense. But I'm telling you, to the culture of that day, not to show partiality and then not to have a sense of bearing. I mean, it was, you needed to have a sense of standing and you needed to hold your head up and you were, you know, better than others. That was seen as a virtue, not as something that was a sin. And so, as believers, do we really have a true humble spirit? Think about it. Are you worried about what people think about you? Are you worried about your image? I tell you what, there's a lot of reasons why I don't like social media, but probably the biggest one is the image. The whole idea of casting out your image to try to build up who you are in the minds of other people. Folks, if you'll think very carefully about this, that violates this verse. We should never try to, in what we do, to put ourselves in a higher place than others. Now, we can rejoice about God's goodness. We can rejoice in the things that God has given us, but we must never be thinking how we can so show our pictures and say things that we've done that people will admire us. That's a real danger. That is the haughty spirit. You're driving down the highway, you've often encountered a sign that says, dangerous curve ahead. It'll give you a very low miles per hour speed limit. Immediately, you're confronted with making a choice. One, you can observe the warning and slow down. Two, you can ignore the warning and maintain your rate of speed. That's the one most of you are tempted to do. I know that since that's me. Or three, you can defy the warning and speed up. And I got a couple of you in mind. No, I'm just kidding. That might just like to do that. Well, I got to tell you a story. Would you like a good story here tonight? How many of you remember Pastor Asher? Okay, don't tell him I put this on live stream. Okay. We were snowmobiling up in North Country, up near Minocqua. And those are beautiful trails. Actually, it was near Eagle River where this was. And Brother Asher, our dear youth pastor, he was an adventurer. So, I mean, he was doing all kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, I got to bring him home somehow here. But anyway, well, we were up in a more hilly area, actually quite a hilly area. And I was in the back of the pack. And I was going to learn from everybody else's mistakes. You know, it was a pretty wise place to be. He was in the front of the group that we had there. And we're up on a ledge, and we're going around this mountain, and then there's this big sign, dangerous curve ahead, and slow down. I mean, I can't remember it. It was just obvious, you know, and so I thought for sure he'd slow down. That crazy guy sped up. And so we're going along, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I hope he makes it around. Well, he didn't even turn the corner. And I'm telling you, there was a valley way down there, and I'm watching a flying snowmobile. I'm thinking, well, it was good being pastor of Falls Baptist Church. How am I going to go home? How am I going to look at his widow and little children? I mean, all that was quickly going through my mind. Well, I finally, slowly, a couple of us got up to the edge and looked over. We didn't see anything. If you know anything about northern Wisconsin, when it snows and snows and it snows. And in areas where you don't have the sun come in and valleys, it just piles and piles and piles. So we didn't see the snowmobile. We didn't see Brother Asher. We just saw his hat on top of the snow there. And I thought, maybe, and sure enough, here comes a hand, you know, and another hand. And he was perfectly fine, that scoundrel. We got him out. You know what it was like getting a snowmobile out of a canyon? And it wasn't even hurt. The whole thing turned out okay. I don't know why I'm confessing this now. But anyway, a lot of times as we face decisions, the Lord is saying here, don't have a haughty spirit. Well, I can do my social media. Don't have a haughty spirit. Well, I can, you know, I can go right ahead, and it doesn't really matter if I try to, you know, get people to think better about me. Folks, it's a terribly dangerous way to live. It is not godly. It's divisive. It'll hurt your spirit. It will keep back your spiritual growth. And there is a warning sign here. Warning, danger ahead. Folks, that kind of spirit is what sent Satan down. It is what caused him to fall and what will cause him to be in the lake of fire forever and ever. It is the very thing that Eve fell for. Ye shall be as gods. And my friends, we have got to get it settled in our heart. It doesn't matter what people think about us. It's what matters is what they think about our God. Amen. Now this is something that is a constant issue that we have to be concerned about. And then, if that indeed is the case, then the second part of that point is mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. If you are not trying to be haughty, you will associate with people that are not necessarily thought well of because you're trying to reach them. In other words, you're not only running with people that have high standing, you really care about whoever, and you don't mind associating with them. You're willing to be friends with someone that doesn't help your perspective socially. Now, most folks here, that's not an issue, but it is important for us to see that. I remember my dad taught me that. There was a young man in our youth group. Both of his parents had some real mental deficiencies, and he honestly just didn't know anything, hardly. He was in the ninth grade, and my dad got really burdened for him, and Dad would have him over to our house. It was embarrassing to death for me to have him over. And my dad said, I want you to get close to him. I really want you to befriend him. And I thankfully did obey my dad. You know, it was really exciting with my dad's leadership and a little bit of help from me. That young man graduated from college and is in the ministry. And my dad really taught me a lesson to love people for who they are and see the wonderful opportunity that you can have. So we are to minister equally to everyone. Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. That's my Savior. He identifies with me. You talk about condescending down. And friends, we've got to realize if Jesus was willing to walk here on this earth, there ought to be nobody, if God tells us to minister to them, that we won't minister to. Amen. And you know, let me just tell you, to test us, often God will put people in our way that are a bit of a challenge. And that's going to be a real test of where are we spiritually. As Murray said, there is to be no aristocracy in the church, no cliques of the wealthy as over against the poor, no pedestals of unapproachable dignity for those on the higher social and economic strata or for those who are in office of the church. And so we need to be satisfied to be in that humble kind of heart. And then finally, number three, impartiality, genuine humility, and then being correctable. This is really important. Look with me at the last part of verse 16. Be not wise in your own conceits. This is an expression used seven times in Scripture. And this has the idea here of not thinking you know everything. You see, if you think that way, then you're going to have trouble with the other 2 points. But if you are open to letting God continually teach you through preaching and teaching and through your own time in the Word, and if you're able to take counsel and take correction, you know, really, if you want another good measuring stick for your spiritual life is, can you take rebuke? I'm telling you, for any of us, that's hard. But can you listen? Are there things that maybe need to be helped in your life? There's somebody that's close to you would love to tell you, but you're really not very approachable. Your skin is really thin. You get offended really easily. You're known for that. Nobody's going to really tell you anything honestly. That's a sad thing. Listen, someone that really loves you is going to, if they're in a place of leadership in your life, they're going to want to help you, but you've got to be helpable. You've got to be teachable. You've got to be teachable. Only green corn stands upright. Ripe corn bends low. And to have that kind of a mind. James 3:17 is so clear on this. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good works, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Easy to be entreated. All right, let's get down to meddling here a little bit, okay? Husbands, are your wives scared to death to give you some advice? By the way, they have a lot of good advice. Hey. Thank you. Ladies, who is your spiritual leader if you're a wife? It's your husband. Are you able to be led? Will you listen to your husband? Will you realize that God will use him? He's not perfect. A wife is not perfect. But are we teachable? Young people, I tell you, it's a blessed thing you have a mom and dad that love the Lord. Are you able to take correction? A wise man takes correction. Are you willing to be dealt with and disciplined and respond in a way that is thankful and realize that God is protecting you from a lot harder things down the road? You see, genuine maturity is seen in someone who wants the best, who honors God, and who trusts the authorities that God has put in their lives. And we as adults, the people in our lives, people on the job, even if they're not saved, other authorities in our lives, are we teachable? Are we correctable? You know, whenever 2 people meet, there are really 6 people present. There is each man as he sees himself, each man as the other person sees him, and then what that man really is. Okay. And it's so important for us to put aside all of that and to let God work in our lives. But you know, our minds are made up. One day, John Scott Eldon, Lord Chancellor of England, noticed that there were only 11 people in the jury. There were supposed to be 12. He was summing up and had already spoken for 2 hours, and this caused him to be a little disconcerted. And then he said to the foreman, "There are only 11 men in the jury box. Where is the 12th? "Oh, please, my lord," said the foreman. He was called away by an urgent message just after lunch. But it's all right. He left his verdict already with me. And that's sort of where we are. Before we ever hear God's voice, before we ever allow someone to help us, before we hear the preaching of God's word, I've already got my verdict. Do you realize, folks, in our human thinking, how many times we are wrong? How many times we've evaluated what somebody has done or said, and we're all wrong about it? We make up our minds. We're not willing to listen oftentimes. And it is really good to be very careful on important decisions that you make and things in your life. To really have, now, we need to be strong in our convictions, strong in what we believe. But when it comes to our own personal life, we need to be correctable. And then we need to deal with conceit. It's been said he is impossible to get along with because he thinks he's impossible to get along without. And there really is a sense of, it comes out of insecurity, it comes out of protection, but the unwillingness to really be teachable, not wise in your own conceits. And we need to, as Philip Brooks says, I think it's a great statement, the true way to be humble is not to stoop until you are smaller than yourself, but to stand at your real height against some higher stature that will show you what the real smallest of your greatness is. And I don't consider myself real tall. I'm 6 foot tall. But when Brother Chafee was here, I had a real sense of my smallness. You know? Well, how big was he? 6'9"? Yeah, 6'9". Whew. I'm not used to that. I feel sorry for those of you that are a little shorter because you get that kind of feeling. Or, you know, you think you're a pretty good ball player until you get around a real ball player. And very humbling. And but I'm telling you, folks, the thing that will keep you humble is just measure yourself in the stature of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're not even in the shadow. And my, how much growth that there needs to be. Oh, Dr. F.B. Meyer, this is a famous illustration. He wrote to a friend a few weeks before his death. What a godly man, preacher, writer. If you can get your hands on an F.B. Meyer commentary, it'll warm your heart. It's not a technical commentary. It's one that is devotional and will preach to you. He said, I'm now 82. He was talking to someone just a few weeks before his death, and he said, I'm 82 and in a nursing home. I want to tell you what the Spirit of God has been showing me lately, that I have acquired a reputation for sanctity by my books, and that is true. This may grow on me. It makes me want to creep into heaven unnoticed. Well, that's why he was such a wonderful man, was he realized that insidious reality of thinking well of ourselves from a human standpoint. And how important it is that we don't have that conceit. Well, folks, I've given some very obvious, simple points here tonight, but I'm burdened with all that's going on. Our churches ought to be an example. There's a God in heaven. Not a bunch of people about their own agendas and their own philosophies. Amen. That God is in the transforming work and how they love one another. I think one of the greatest things, if you're in an area where there is a lot of different nationalities, when there's a lot of different types of people, and in any area, you've got all different kinds of social levels, for that whole area to be represented in the church. It's a beautiful thing. That's Bible Christianity. And as the world rages outside, they're dealing with philosophies that go beyond the issues that they talk about, and that we need to deal with. Those are unbiblical issues. But we as a church ought to exhibit the oneness that can only come because of Jesus Christ. Amen. And let me just say, be careful. As we react to the Marxism, humanism, socialism of our day, as we see our country really moving in a direction that we're burdened about, don't get upset with types of people that might be associated with that. It's all types of people anyway. But let's keep our spirit right. In fact, God loves to reach very... Listen, many of those folks are looking for a cause. They just need somebody to tell them about Jesus. Amen. They need somebody bold enough on the job to talk about the love of Christ. Right. But if we get all bent out of shape, we cannot be number one political or even get into all of these philosophies. We've got to be number one, a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And it ought to be a reality in the church of the living God that we're of the same mind one toward another, that we don't mind high things but condescend to men of low estate, that we're not wise in our own conceits. And you know God can do that for us. That's the beauty, that's the glory, that's the peace, that's the refreshing value, that's the sense of the heavenlies that the local church is supposed to have. Let's bow for prayer.